This is Carl Azus, package producer and anchor of CNN Student News, and you are listening to Speaking of History.
The Eagle has landed.
You are about to embark upon the Great Crusade.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
I consider myself the luckiest man.
I have a dream today.
That the only thing we have to fear is
fear
itself.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Hello, you're listening to Speaking of History, the podcast that has a focus on education, technology, and history. My name is Eric Langhorst. I'm an 8th grade American history teacher in Liberty, Missouri, and you're listening to episode number 96, being recorded on June 29th, 2007. Well, today I'm going to do a recap of NEC. I just got back a couple days ago from the 2007 NEC conference in Atlanta, Georgia, and had a great time. It was a great experience. Fortunately, I've been able to go to quite a few of these in the last several years. I was in New Orleans in 2004, was not able to go to Philadelphia in 2004 or 2005, but then was able to go to San Diego in 2006, and then obviously just attended the 2007 one. And I thought it was an excellent conference. I thought that things ran extremely smoothly. I can't remember anybody really complaining about anything or any concerns. There were about 13,000 people there, and I thought everything ran really well. Even the shuttles, we had a hotel that was maybe a 10 or 15 minute walk away from the convention center probably, so we just took a shuttle every day. The shuttles ran very smoothly. The venue was nice. I really enjoyed the entire atmosphere and the environment that Atlanta provided, so I thought it was an excellent NEC conference. One of the great things that they added with this one that I hope they continue with the future ones, and I believe they will, is that they added these little lounges in the outside, kind of like walking areas in the halls. And so, for example, the bloggers had a little bloggers cafe, and so they had some tables there. They had some places where you could actually hook up your laptop. It was just basically a place to go and discuss with people that like to talk about the same topic that you do. So, for example, I went down there a couple times and saw some people that I interact with quite a bit on educational blogs and podcasts. Second Life had a section. There was one on open source, and so it's just kind of neat to see these little kind of couches and tables set up so that you could kind of walk by at any time during the conference and strike up a conversation about a topic that you are very passionate about. And I know Will Richardson talked about this quite a bit, but it kind of almost feels like it legitimizes educational blogging. And a lot of conversations took place there that you never would have had inside a session. I know a lot of people mentioned that they didn't even go to very many sessions because they had so many great conversations in those different lounge areas. And there's definitely a place for sessions, and I don't think that the session part will ever go away, but I think you're beginning to see this change of what a conference really looks like, where I can meet somebody in one of these lounges and talk to them that I've maybe had a discussion with over the last several months, and I can actually see him face to face, and we can sit down and talk about things, and it's just kind of a neat way to experience a conference that was a little bit different. Overall, I thought that the wireless internet connections were very good throughout most of the conference. The only thing that I, you know, still wonder about is that sometimes when you go into a session, I know I found this out twice. When I went into a session, the presenter had a little bit of trouble connecting to the internet. And for the most part, everybody in the room that was in the audience that had a laptop was able to get on the internet. And so I know a couple presenters were frustrated because the audience had internet connection and they didn't to the computer that was showing the display up on the screen. So maybe if they can figure that out somehow where they actually get a dedicated line for the presenter so that the odds of them losing their internet connection will almost be basically zero by the time they give their presentation. But thought it was great. I did talk a little bit last week about some of the sessions that I wanted to go to, and I was able to make some of those, and some of those I was not. I kind of was taking a little bit of a risk by trying to really put myself in those different time frames. There were some things that came up where I had some discussions with people, or people wanted to meet with me on certain things, and I wasn't able to get to all of them, and I'll kind of talk about that a little bit later, but I did see some great sessions, and I do plan to go back and look at some of the sessions on the video cast, and then also listen to some of them that were podcasted through NEC. So the first one I went to was Monday, and Monday morning I listened to Will Richardson talk about learning with blogs, and it was a great audience. It was packed. People were sitting in the aisles, on the floor. And it was a great mixture, I think, of experience. There were quite a few people there that do blogs currently, but there were a lot of people that had questions that, you know, you could tell that they were very much wanting to get into blogs, but really didn't know exactly kind of how to approach that. So I thought Will did a great job of really giving a broad interview, a broad overview of what blogs can do in education. And the greatest thing that I came out of that session with was a comparison between wikis and blogs that Will made. And I get that question a lot from different people that say, hey, you know, I know that you do blogs and stuff. What's the difference between a blog and a wiki? And which one should I use with my students for, you know, this project? And I actually used this when I was going back to the airport. I shared a cab with a teacher from Arkansas, and she was asking me about, well, what should I use, a wiki or a blog, and what's the difference? And this is the comparison that Will made that I'm going to continue to use when people ask me. A wiki is more of a place to have a collection of items, and a blog is more of a place to actually have a conversation about something. And so I think that's a great analogy. You know, if somebody wants to collect a bunch of links for their students or a bunch of, you know, items where they can go back over and over again and use it as a resource, you know, that's the role of a wiki. But if you want to have a conversation, if you want people to enable comments, if you want people to have ongoing discussions about different things, then that's the role of a blog. So, but I thought that was a great session. A lot of people had some great questions, and it's always great to listen to Will talk about his approach on how he teaches about blogs and wikis and things. The second one that I went to on Monday, the second one that I wanted to go to on Monday, was Historical Blogs, Voices from the Past, Fictional Blogs of Historical Figures by Herman Wood of Cobb County School District. And I ended up running into somebody that wanted to meet with me, and they weren't going to be there the next day, and so this was pretty much the only time that they could talk to me about this project, and so I had to make the decision on what I was going to do. I decided to talk to that individual and not go to this session. This is actually one of the sessions that I really wanted to go to, and I feel bad that I wasn't able to go there. I heard that it was a great session, and I do want to contact Herman Wood and maybe do a phone interview so we can let the audience know a little bit about some of this project. There is a great blog post out there that somebody did in the audience, and I think this is an amazing idea. It's a great concept, and I'd like to talk to Herman Wood so that I can maybe see how we can do it in our school and maybe even do some interactive things with them as well. So unfortunately, I was not able to go to that one, but I heard it was a packed crowd, and it was really well received, and so I apologize to Herman Wood for not being able to be there, but I do really want to talk to him about his project in the future. Maybe we can do a podcast interview type phone thing so that people listen to Speaking of History can learn more about the project. The second one that I was able to go to on Monday was Primary Access, Creating Digital Documentaries in the Social Studies Classroom. And this was given by some individuals from the University of Virginia. I specifically talked to Tom Hammond a little bit after the individual session, and then a little bit later in the week when I did my poster session. And this was one of the things that I came away from NEC with a lot of fire about, because I think this has a lot of potential. Basically, what Primary Access is an online application for students to create digital documentaries. So if you've used PhotoStory 3, for example, where you take digital images and you can put music in the background and you can, you know, use the Ken Burns effect and all that kind of stuff, this is really sort of like that, with the added wrinkle that you have a space on the web to do this both. You can actually create like a graphic organizer, but then it also has a teleprompter. And so I know a lot of times when you do PhotoStory 3 things, your students get out and they just want to get all the pictures, and they're worried about the pictures. They're not really worried about the narration part. And so this actually enables the students to do the writing, and it's got a great feature on there where you can actually adjust the speed, and it highlights the different words that should be said. You can narrate directly through the web application. It saves it on their site as a web application. So there's a lot of details that I'll get into later on a podcast that I want to focus on just this tool. But if you want to check it out, just check out the show notes for Primary Access. People at University of Virginia are doing it. It looks like an amazing tool. Again, a web-based tool that you can actually use in the classroom. You can use in the lab. And I thought it had a ton of potential. So that was another session that I saw on Monday. Now on Tuesday, I was able to do a tour at CNN. and look at what they do as far as their news, do the actual tour, but then also sit down and visit a little bit with the people that do CNN student news. So that was pretty much what I did in the morning, and then I had some meetings with some other individuals in the morning, and so I wasn't able to get to any sessions on Tuesday. Did some stuff on the exhibit floor and talked to some people. So again, my Tuesday schedule got kind of blown out of the water once some of these things came out, but there were some amazing sessions on Tuesday, and again, some connections that I want to make with people that I wasn't able to get to their session. On Wednesday morning, the best session that I thought I went to on Wednesday was Digital Game-Based Learning in American History, and that was by an individual from Colonial Williamsburg, Dale Van Eck, and he did this presentation at the National Council for Social Studies Convention in Washington, D.C. this last fall or last winter, and it was packed, and they wouldn't actually let any additional people in. So I definitely wanted to see this in its entirety. I saw just a little bit of it last year, and it was a great presentation. It was a large room, relatively almost full of people, and a lot of really positive comments afterwards. Dale basically talked about a lot of the online resources that are available through Colonial Williamsburg as far as interactive games, demonstrated some stuff with what people wore during the colonial period, kind of an interactive thing there that you can do, and then also talked about some things with Lewis and Clark, the American Revolution. They have quite a few interactive games, and they're really high-quality things that come out of Colonial Williamsburg, as you could probably expect from Colonial Williamsburg. These are really high-quality products, and so I'm going to have the entire session on a later date as a podcast. I got permission from Dale to do that. I just have to edit out some sound and different things, and then I'll actually have some information there so that if you need to contact Dale to get some information or to get the CD that was mentioned and things like that, you can go directly through him. So that will be at a later date, but that was a really good session. The first one on Wednesday, but there were tons of people there that thought it was really good, and there was a lot of discussion afterwards from various people saying, they really want to use this at home, they really want to use it with their kids, things like that. All right, the exhibit floor. Obviously at NEC, one of the great things about NEC is the number of vendors that you can actually go and talk to. The C-SPAN bus was there on the floor. Google had a really great display. Google has a little classroom area where you can basically go and listen to different presentations on how to use Google Docs, how to use Google Earth, and those were full. Every time I walked by, I mean, there were tons of people there listening to the Google presentations, so that was really neat. Microsoft, they had a much more, I thought, teacher-friendly environment. When you came in, you could talk to some people about some specific things that Microsoft can help you with as a teacher. I thought that last year maybe it wasn't quite as teacher-friendly, and this year it was much, much better. Got to do a little bit with some of the Zooms, and kind of interested in the possibility of using some Zooms in the classroom and how that might work out. Best Buy, I love Best Buy. I go to Best Buy all the time. The laptop that I'm currently using to create this podcast is on a brand new laptop from Best Buy. My desktop that I'm going to buy in the fall, 99% sure I'll get it at Best Buy after I do some price checks. I love Best Buy, but please, please, please do not bring back those huge oversized bags for next year. If you were at San Diego last year, Best Buy introduced these huge bags. So you could walk up and they give you some information and a t-shirt possibly, things like that. And there's this bag that is about probably, 3 feet across and maybe 2 feet high. And it's the biggest bag I've ever seen in my life. You could fit several children inside this bag. And so when you picked up one of these bags, for the rest of the day, you're bumping into people. I mean, I got smashed by this bag walking through the aisles. I got smashed by this bag on the bus going back to the hotel. And everybody was complaining about it. Now, I know my dad used to be in advertising. He owned a newspaper. And so he always used to say, hey, if you're talking about something, then they've actually accomplished their task in advertising of getting you to talk about it. And I'm talking about it on my podcast, but please, please don't bring them back. Give everybody a smaller bag and maybe a little extra thing in it or something. But man, the Best Buy bags were constantly bumping into people the rest of the NEC conference. I did have a chance to go to some great local restaurants, some different people that we work with at school. We were able to go out to dinner with on several occasions. We ate with some people from Unite Private Networks the first night at a Brazilian barbecue called Fogo de Chao, probably saying that wrong. I'm not a Spanish teacher. But if you've ever been to a Brazilian barbecue place, amazing food. They bring the cuts right to your plate and shave it off, and you can eat all kinds of different things. So that was a really great experience that I hadn't had before. We also were able to go to a Braves game with the people from SAS, and we were able to sit in one of the suites, one of the private suites, and had all the food and stuff brought into the suite, and we were able to watch the game. They played the Washington Nationals, and the Braves won, so everybody was happy, so that was a great night. Also, I was able to have a great evening dinner with the people from School Library Journal and some of the contributors that write for School Library Journal, and we went to Restaurant Eugene, which was a really high-scale restaurant in Atlanta, and it was a great atmosphere, talked to some great people. I've been very fortunate to be able to write for them over the last year and kind of create a relationship with the people at SLJ. And so they had some of the other people that contribute for them. Will Richardson was there, had a great conversation with Chris Learman from Philadelphia, and Marcy Hall, one of his teachers at his school in Philadelphia. And, you know, like always, it's kind of bizarre. We had this amazing dinner, and I talked to some great people and had some great conversations about education and technology. And then we went back to the hotel, and so a bunch of us got into a taxi cab van type thing. And, three of us are smashed in the back of this van. And I had this great conversation with Chris Learman, probably one of the best conversations I had the entire week, about the role of No Child Left Behind in education today, and what's going to eventually, give us traction to get into that mode of kind of revolutionizing the way that we actually learn in schools. And so I had this amazing conversation with Chris, smashing the back of this van, and that's one of the things that I'm going to really take away from this conference was some of the things that we talked about, and I want to include some of those thoughts in a podcast I'll do later this summer on No Child Left Behind. I'm kind of just putting all my thoughts kind of in one organized place so that we can actually put all those together. So that was great. Atlanta has some great places to go. We did not do the aquarium. We just weren't able to squeeze that in. We didn't go to Coca-Cola. We didn't go to Stone Mountain. So the next time I go to Atlanta, there'll be a lot of things to see. But some of the things that we were able to do via the people at Cable in the Classroom, we were able to go to a tour of CNN. And this was amazing because I'm kind of a news junkie. If you're in my classroom, if you're in my house, typically CNN is kind of the thing that's on in the background. My wife loves CNN. We watch it a lot. And so they arranged a tour for us, and it's actually a tour that anybody can take. They just happened to set it up for us. But if you're in Atlanta, I'd really suggest going on the CNN studio tour because you get to see a lot of stuff kind of behind the scenes. You get to walk actually behind the anchors and all the news floor and things like that. I found it extremely interesting on different things. You got to sit in a theater at one point, kind of at the beginning of the tour, and you're watching the live feed from CNN, and then you were also able to see a variety of different other feeds they have coming in at the same time, what they would see in the control room. And then they let us listen to the actual control room for a while, and we could listen to, saying, hey, we're going to cue in camera 3, and I want to bring in this thing. And it was really, really interesting to me. And I know Lance, the person that does our student broadcast, he was along, and he thought it was really good, and I'm sure he'll bring some of that stuff back to his kids that do his broadcast stuff. So it was really neat. We weren't able to take pictures on the tour, so you just have to kind of go on the tour to be able to see all the different things. But I'd highly suggest it for anybody that happens to be in Atlanta. And then also after that, Cable in the Classroom arranged a meeting for us with the people that are basically the team that creates CNN Student News. And I use CNN Student News a lot with my class. Probably about 2 or 3 times a week we watch it. And it was great to be able to see the producers and some of the on-air talent and talk a little bit about how they make decisions based on what's going to be on the show. It's a 10-minute show each day, so they're trying to basically fit in world, U.S. news, make some, maybe a little interesting story type thing in 10 minutes. So they have a really tough job, and it was neat to be able to hear them talk about that a little bit. All right, well, kind of big picture stuff to kind of wrap up some thoughts on NEC. I thought that this year there was a really positive vibe. I mean, sometimes I think when we go to educational tech conferences, you get a vibe that, oh, the stuff is really cool to use, but we don't have the money, we don't have the resources. And I really think we're getting to the point now with so many things being web-based, and you know, I think we're doing a better job of getting computers into the classroom and into labs and things. I think that things are finally starting to click, and we're kind of getting a little bit of traction here. You know, I think that, you know, even 2 or 3 years ago, the conversation tended to be a lot about, you know, what are these tools, you know? What is podcasting? What is a blog? What is a wiki? And now the conversation tends to be a lot more about, okay, I know what podcasting is, I know what a blog is, but how do I use it with my kids? And people in sessions are asking a lot more nuts and bolts type things. You know, like when you do a blog and you've got students posting, how do you work around the permission issue? You know, do students use their name and things like that? So I think teachers really are starting to see value in these things, and they're starting to actually think about, okay, I want to do this. I need to know physically how I can set this up. And so I think that's a good sign. I think that we're finally getting to the point where we have a lot of people using these tools. Also, I think that administrators are starting to kind of get a little bit of the hang of this. I see more and more administrators at these meetings and conferences. And, you know, once the administrator sees a value in it, it's going to be a lot easier to actually implement that into your classroom. Also, I think we have a lot more best practices out there. It's becoming easier to see really good best practices on blogs and wikis and things like that. And so I think that's also a positive thing. I did come into the conference having some questions about Second Life, and I did not go to any individual sessions on Second Life or specific sessions on Second Life, but I did have probably about 4 or 5 private discussions with people that are in Second Life and have some experience with Second Life. And personally, I'm still not seeing it, and I realize that it might just be that I'm not at that point yet. You know, I might not see the value of Second Life yet, but that doesn't mean that there might not be a value for Second Life. So I'm really kind of holding off a lot of, you know, final decisions on that. I at this point, I'm not ready to invest personal time or money in creating an avatar and getting into Second Life and really playing around with it. I've got a ton of stuff I'm working on right now, and I love what I'm doing. I'm trying to implement some new things. And personally, I just don't see where Second Life is going to fit into what I'm currently doing. Now, one thing that this whole discussion has really helped me with is, you know, I at this current time, I'm seeing this technology that's really hot. People are talking about it, and I'm just not seeing how I can use it in my classroom. And, you know, it dawned on me that, hey, this is where some people are at when I talk about podcasting or I talk about blogging. You know, there's some teachers saying, yeah, I realize blogging and podcasting, you know, is kind of, you know, the buzzword right now, but I don't quite see how I'm going to use it in my classroom. And so this whole Second Life thing has been very interesting for me, because now I'm kind of on the other end saying, oh, I don't know if I want to use this. And that's where a lot of people are when I'm trying to basically promote or evangelize the use of blogs and podcasts and things like that. So it has been really interesting. You know, we'll continue to see what happens. I'll continue to talk to people about Second Life and see what happens. But as of this point, I'm still just not really clicking yet on how we should use it in our school system. I was able to also survive the Atlanta airport. We got to the airport and found out that there was about an hour wait through security, so that took quite a while. I was able to see a celebrity while I was checking out at the Delta kiosk, getting my boarding pass. I looked over and saw Alan November at the kiosk right next to me and talked to him very briefly. He was trying to get some flight stuff arranged, but it was great to like look up and see somebody that I listen to and read quite a bit on the internet and blogs and podcasts and things. Would encourage you to definitely check out all the different sessions that have been podcasted and videocasted. I know I'm going to be definitely downloading quite a few of the podcasts so that I can listen to those throughout the summer. And again, they have those video casts too, so if it was a presentation that you really wanted to see as well as listen to, you can actually watch it. And I think that's an incredible resource, because there's no way to digest everything that happens at NEC in 3 or 4 days. And so it kind of gives it a life beyond that. And I know the year that I didn't go to Philadelphia, I basically was able to experience the conference, you know, through podcasts and through videocasts, and was able to get some really good things out of it for free without being able to go to the conference. Next year, obviously, is in San Diego, and they do have a call for proposals out. It's going to start on September 5th, and all the proposals for sessions and different things need to be in by October 3rd. So if you are a person that's using these things in your classroom, definitely go ahead and submit a proposal, and you can share your ideas and thoughts. I'm going to talk a little bit later on a podcast about how I did a poster session this year and thought that was a great experience to be able to talk to a lot of different people about some of the projects that I'm doing in my class and then find out what they're doing in their classrooms as well. And if you're interested, they actually have the dates and everything set for NEC all the way through 2012. Next year's in San Antonio. And then 2009 will be in Washington, D.C. 2010 is in Denver, Colorado. 2011 is back in Philadelphia, and then 2012 will be back in San Diego, same place that it was last year. So, and they actually have the dates and everything on there, so if you're really trying to plan specifically the dates, you can go to the NEC site and go to where it says Future NECC, and it'll actually give you the dates and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great conference, I thought. Atlanta did an amazing job. It was great seeing so many different people. I saw a lot of people that I have conversations with on the web, and it's great to sit down and have a cup of coffee and actually talk to people about things face to face, and I just thought it was a great conference. So go ahead and stay tuned for some future ones here. I'll have some different individual interviews from the exhibit floor with some different exhibitors. We'll have some specific things on sessions and try and continue the conversation of NEC 2007. Well, thanks for listening. If you have any comments, you can definitely post to the blog, and that's at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot, or you can email me directly at speakingofhistory@gmail.com, and as always, all comments are welcome. All right, well, thanks for listening, and remember, history is a lot more than just a bunch of boring old dead guys. Talk to you soon.
The Speaking of History podcast is produced by Eric Langhorst in Liberty, Missouri, under a Creative Commons license. Visit the website for show notes and links to material in the podcast at www.speakingofhistory.blogspot.com. The podcast is also available on iTunes. Please email all comments and questions to speakingofhistory@gmail.com. Background music for the intro is Z from James Underberg from PodSafe Audio. Thanks for listening.